covering Jude chapter 1. And we're going to begin, we took a little bit of 16, but let's begin again 16. 16, 17, and 18, let's read that together, starting with 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having many persons in its admiration because of his vanity. Verse 17, Jude 1, 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. All right, that's 16, 17, 18. All right, verse number 16. These, what do these refer back to? Carol, good to see you. We're in the book of Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1, okay. What do these refer back to?
Ungodly.
The ungodly, that's right. And what particular ones were you mentioned earlier that were the ungodly? Verse 6 talks about the angels, and verse 7 talks about Sodom and Gomorrah.
False teachers.
False teachers and homosexuals, various things. These. These are called what in verse number 16?
Murmurers.
What does murmurer mean? Complainers, okay. What part of speech do we call the word murmur? Onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia comes from two Greek words. What's the first? Onoma is what? Noun, poieo, to say, to speak, or to make, say the same thing, or speak the same thing as a sound, so it's murmur. Again, murmurers were complainers, what else? Anything else? What does Paul say about murmuring? Do all things, murmuring, complaining,
disputing,
make the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I don't remember the reference, but Philippians 3, okay. So all things are murmured. So these are murmured. What do you suppose they're murmuring about? What do you suppose these false teachers would be murmuring about? What is it? Could be about anything. What else?
Wrong religion.
Wrong religion, maybe?
Yeah, world religion. Yeah.
Could they be murmuring about the true faith of the scriptures?
Yes.
Because they're false teachers and murmuring. Why do you tell me that? I don't believe the scriptures. These murmurers are false teachers, so scriptures, they murmur against, they don't want. Murmurs in verse 16, and complainers means what? Yes, oh, I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
The verb is standing, that is Philippians 2:14.
Oh, thank you.
Philippians about murmurs and disputes.
Okay, let's say Philippians 2:14 again. Do all things about murmurs and disputes, that you may be sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2:14, that's a good verse. 2:14. All right, so these complainers, what do you think the difference between a murmur and a complainer might be? What would be a difference? They're synonyms, but what would be the difference today? Murmur, complainer. Yes, the cat. That's
well,
right.
And then, yeah, here it says grumble.
Grumble's okay, Callie.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So grumble, complainer.
Maybe murmuring is to yourself, like you're
maybe, you know, probably that.
And then complaining is to other
people. Now, let me ask you a question. Is the word complaining an onomatopoeia?
No.
Why not?
Because it doesn't sound like
it. Doesn't sound like what it is. Is the hiss of a serpent, is that an onomatopoeia?
Yeah.
Why?
Yes. It
sounds like a serpent. Is there, of course, that's not a word. That's not a word, okay. But if you say a word that sounds like that, it'd be by way. So complainers and murmurers, do any Christians complain about anything?
Yes.
Many things. If it says in Philippians 2:14 and 15, like we just quoted, do all things without murmuring and complaining. You say complaining? Murmurs and complaining?
Dispute.
Okay. If it says that and we do that, what does that make us for our Christian people?
Blameless and harmless.
But if we do complain, we're not following the Word of God. It's hard to do all things without murmuring, isn't it? That's what it says we've got to do by the power of God the Holy Spirit. We're able to do it, not in our flesh. Our flesh can't do it. That's your name, blameless and harmless. So, do all things. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm correct.
Just to take that a little deeper and further.
Yeah.
That we mean that, because I think I experienced it this morning. I mean, why do we murmur? Why do we complain? Why do we, why do we do these things? What is the root of it?
The root of it?
Usually the root of it is that somehow we're offended or we feel offended or something isn't the way we want it to be.
Right.
So I guess in my mind, I think it's always to be God-focused, focusing on God, His word, what He wants. But because we're in the flesh, we get caught up in that, and that's what God tells us not to do.
Yeah, I think the flesh is very liable and leaning toward complaining and murmuring.
Yeah, it's easy to complain.
By the way, food and raiment there with being content. Food and raiment there with
being content. Listen, there with having food and raiment.
The Lord didn't even have a face to put His head up there for a house.
Be content, that's right.
But
be sure to say hello to our ones that don't come all the time, but they come sometimes. Jill back there, Antoinette over here, and Carol Whitlock, and then Rich for Winston. Say hello. These are some we're glad to have all four of these people. Yes, yes. See, she's a over the Bible Christian Church, but she comes here quite often for her Bible studies, which is good. See? All right. So, Romans complaining in verse number 16. Then says, and their mouth. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words. Oh, excuse me, Anna, I'm sorry.
Well, I had a comment following up on previous comment.
All right.
People talking about themselves or thinking about themselves too much. In Job 32, verse 2, it says, then was king of the wrath of Elihu, the son of Crackle, of the Buzzway, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was the wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God.
Uh-huh.
Job was thinking about himself, and instead, talking about God,
and
thinking
about
God,
uh-huh, being
himself.
That's good. Thank you, Anna. That's a good verse. So, did that particular character in Job have an electric saw?
No.
He wouldn't have electric saw because his name, the Buzzite, sounds a little bit like it. Alright, so, and murmurs come. What does this mean in verse number 16? Their mouth speaking great swelling words. What is a swelling word?
Boastful.
Boastful, probably prideful. Swelling. Probably long ones too, if they're swelling, they're good long ones.
People say
all
these big fancy words, but they don't say
anything. Yes. Some of the largest, longest words, we don't understand what they mean, but people use them, don't they? Why do people use long, ununderstandable, undiscernible type of words, you think?
Make themselves look good.
Make themselves look good, and everybody looks bad. You don't understand what he's talking about? Yes.
Kind of like when you go to vote and they have some questions, and the way it's written, it's just not written clearly. Mm-hmm. So you don't even know, but it's written that way on purpose because, politicians and whatnot want you to not understand. It's legal jargon, exactly.
It's legal jargon, yes.
Years ago, when I was younger, I used to do this pizza in churches. But anyway, we prayed down the group about the church.
Uh-huh.
And I would read to him, and I would say, "What did you? Did you get anything out of that?" So we were there because they had all these big words, but didn't say anything.
Yes, it's like the illustration I've given many times about church. Like the lady that went to this church and said, "What a wonderful, wonderful, the modern mystery of the prophecy church. What a wonderful sermon, a wonderful sermon." The reason being. But I couldn't understand a word he said. That's why it was wonderful. See, a lot of times people with big words, they think that's wonderful. It's not wonderful, it's foolish.
I'm sorry, but I have to make a comment. Because after the morning service, I did put on Facebook, it was a wonderful service.
I couldn't understand a word he said.
But I wanted to put the video, and I don't have the video yet, so I said more to come. So it wasn't because I didn't have anything else to say.
Right, that's good. Swelling words. Now, some people are persuaded by big swelling words, and of course, a lot of times our president speaks big swelling words, and in fact, he speaks all the time. If he'd have to pay out of his own pocket for all the free of TV time he has, network time, I don't know, plus he's got a lot of money. But anyway, swelling words. Be careful, great out of their mouth, Now notice, what is the motivation for these swelling words in verse 16, the last part? That's a very important section. What's the motivation? Why do they speak these words? What do they want to have happen?
A lot of men,
all right. In other words, having men's persons in admiration because of their vanity. What does admiration first of all mean? Admiration. What is it?
Admiring men's faces,
all right. The persons in admiration. In other words, they want to admire the people. People admire them. What is it?
Pharisees.
Like Pharisees.
They flatter them.
Flatter them, yes. Admiration. Now, it says the last part, because of advantage. What does that mean?
Profit.
All right. In other words, when they talk to people, even though they really don't agree with them, they pretend to agree with them for the sake of advantage. What would advantage mean? Getting good with that particular person, man or woman, pastor, whatever.
Politician,
yes. For the sake of advantage. This is a very serious thing. And many people do this. Is that right to do or wrong to do?
Wrong.
It's wrong. These apostate teachers, false teachers are doing it, and apparently Judas is saying the reason and motivation, and they don't believe it's right at all. Then in verse 17, why is the word but there?
Contrast.
That's right. It's an adversity conjunction. An adverse, a contrast. But beloved, who's referred to there?
Saved
born again Christians, believers. And see, it's talking about unbelievers or false teachers up to this point. Now Jude says, beloved, you are saved born again Christians. Remember the word. What does it mean to remember?
To think of something happened before.
To keep in mind.
Why do people want, does anybody ever tell you to remember things?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things they tell you to remember?
Important days.
Examples.
Passwords.
What is that?
Passwords.
That's a good thing to remember. Passwords in the computer.
Yeah.
Anna?
Yeah. I'm sure my instructor would be happy if I remember what they told me.
Yeah.
Scripture.
Happy scripture. Remember the scripture? In fact, this morning we had a remembrance of what?
The Lord's death
until he comes. Remember the Lord's death. These things do it until I come. So remember, what do they remember in this case? In verse 17, what are they to remember?
Words, teachings.
Spoken by whom?
Apostles,
the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what apostles wrote words? Now, some I'm sure spoke words, but how many apostles wrote words?
Peter, John, Paul, James, Matthew, Mark,
anyhow, all these, and see, what does that indicate as far as Bible books and Bible words are concerned?
It's an error,
that's true. What else does this indicate?
They're true apostles
and true words.
Instruction.
What should we do with these words? Now, right, how do you remember words if you've never read them? Can you remember things you've never read?
Yeah.
Never heard? So, to remember the words. Now, can you read the scriptures once and remember everything you read?
No.
Have to repeat. My mom used to say, like a man with 2 feet and a bottom of 1 foot, he'd put the name Pete, the other foot, repeat. Every time you make left, repeat and repeat. And then she came to this Latin proverb, it was very amazing. Repetitio mater studium est. You know what that means? Repetition, mater studium, the mother of learning, est is. Repetition is the mother of learning. So she used to tell me, I don't know how she got that, because she never, she must have learned it from something. But the better remember,
she
meant that she didn't remember. She had a good memory.
She must have repeated it.
She had to repeat with this guy, I'm sure, many times. Son, why don't you do this? So she had 2 daughters and this 1 son. So, but you know, after she was very old, maybe even after she died, my youngest sister, Annie, is with the Lord now. Annie said that I was mom's favorite. I never knew that. I never knew that all my life. She never let me know. But Annie knew. Now, my older sister, Dottie, is dad's favorite. We all knew that. We all knew that. Was that Anna? Fine?
We all knew that.
All knew that. I don't know how I got in that. Hey, remember, Mom was a good mom, and she wanted me to remember things. And now, remember the word.
Yes, yes, I know it's off subject, but who was firstborn?
Firstborn was my sister died. And then I was next, and then Annie was third. One, two, three.
Annie knew that she wasn't the favorite, but she got
it. Yeah, Annie knew she was the She was 7 years younger than all of us, really. About 6 or 7 years younger. And so when we all left the house, she was there, she was the baby, and she got a lot of things, and she went to go here and go there, which Daddy and I never got to go anywhere.
She was the baby.
She was fine. She's all right. There's a question over here. Alright, now, we've got to remember the words. And the only way to remember the words is to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. Read and read and read. As I said, ever since I was saved, I've been reading the scriptures, Genesis, Revelation. On the 1st of January, after I was saved, our pastor, Pastor Earl Willis, said, I would like every one of you members of our Berea Baptist Church, Berea, Ohio, next year to read the entire Bible through. And I didn't know how to do that. I asked my president, my father-in-law, was free, but I had sandbar. I wasn't married to my wife yet, but how do we do that? I said, I don't know. So I looked at the Bible, got Uncle Charlie Allen, our high school janitor, who led me to Christ. He gave me a Bible. In that Bible, every single book had the same number, had number of verses, chapters, and words. And so I looked at the end, Old Testament, verses, chapters, words, and the whole then together, 31,000 something words in the scripture. Verses. And so I divided three. 31,106, whatever, by 365 and a fourth, I came up with 85 verses per day. That's our way. That's how you get it. How to do it. Just, that's the way you do it, so we've been doing it. But we've got to continue to remember the words of the Lord, and the only way to remember is to keep up to
yes? I think
so, if
you have three chapters a day, you'll be able to read it.
Well, the trouble with chapters is, some Psalms have three verses, and Psalm 119 is 176 verses. So the chapters are not equal.
Yeah.
So it's best for verses. And even some verses are longer than others, but it's better to go by verses. So, but we got to remember, and remember we got to keep reading the apostles of our Lord. What is an apostle?
Someone selected by Christ.
Selected by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Send out one.
Yeah. Send it?
No, I just switched on.
Okay. So sent out by Christ. So apostles by the Lord Jesus Christ. So they wrote these books, and we've got to have these books. We've got to read those books, and we've got to be sure that those books, those words are preserved. And the Lord Jesus promised to preserve his Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That word's never, never, ume, strong, negative. And the words the Lord Jesus gave the New Testament, that he gave through the Holy Spirit, and I suppose the Old Testament the same. Those are his words. The apostles followed Jesus Christ. Then in verse number 18, these apostles forewarned that they should do what? What's going to happen in these last times? What did the apostles in their scriptures tell us about?
Mockers
will come. What is a mocker?
An exponent.
They exponent something, all right?
Yeah.
Denigrate someone, that's right, denigrate. And what did Job say of his three friends? Miserable comforters, and after they said a few things, he had an imperative, a command, something they should do.
Mock on.
That's where you got it, honey.
I don't know how I remember that.
Okay. In other words, he just let them have it right between the eyes. All the three different things that they were saying about him, they're untrue. They say thought he was a sinner, that he doesn't defend you right. And he just said, mock on. It's two words that said it all. Mockers make fun of people. Have you ever been mocked by anybody?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you're mocked because you're a Christian, what should be your attitude?
Thank you graciously.
Glorify God. Glorify God. So,
your reward is great.
Your reward is great.
Because, you're persecuting you.
Persecuting you. Does the scripture say that the born-again Christians will be persecuted?
Yes.
In fact, it says, woe unto you when men speak well of you. You know, so It's nice for some people, a few people speak well of you, but when all men shall speak well of you, there's always those that are mockers. So these people here that Judas is talking about are mockers. When will they be especially multiplying and many?
End time.
End time. What does the last time mean? Probably before the rapture, second coming. Now, was it were they the last time? In the, was it the last time when the scriptures were written? Did it say the last times? Or the last times?
Yeah,
the last time of the year. Well, that's true. But it says many times we're living. Even when Paul was writing and Peter was writing, we're in the last times. But they're the last times. Years after that.
Or even
more so than ever.
Very last.
Very last, exactly. The last time. Now, what do these mockers do in verse number 18? Okay, what lust meaning what? Worldly lust, ungodly lust.
Desires,
ungodly desires in the flesh. And how is it they can walk after those? What does it mean to walk after these ungodly? What is it?
How they live their lives,
what they do, how they what they say, what they think, how they do the actions and words and thoughts. And it's going to be the last thing. We've got all kinds of people today doing that very thing, whether it's on TV, whether it's on radio, whether it's on the internet, whether it's in movies, whatever, or whether it's on the newspapers, walking after their ungodly lusts. To have our president and the Congress go along with homosexual sodomite marriages, this is ungodly lust, and they were walking after that. To have them in the military, first of all, anybody. When I was a Navy chaplain in Naval Air Station Corpus Christi, Texas, we had some waves, girl during Navy people who were homosexual. What did they do? They kicked them out. When I was a chaplain, they kicked out homosexuals. And now, first step of what? Don't ask, don't tell. In other words, it could be in, but don't ask. Now, everybody's welcome. Come right out of the closet, and all the homosexual women, homosexual men in the military, and as a result of that, the perverted people have been raping men after men, hundreds of men, thousands, all the way, and the women say, sad thing, walking after their own lusts. It's one thing to have the lusts, ungodly lusts, but to walk after them means putting in action. Everybody can see. So, out of the closet, everybody out of the closet. It's a terrible thing. This is what's happening today. All right, let's go on with verses 19, 20, and 21. Let's read those together. These be they who separate themselves, central, having not the Spirit, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. All right. These be they who separate yourself. What does it mean to separate yourself?
Distance.
Distance, all right. They separate themselves. Now, when ungodly people are in a church, what does God tell us to do if we're saved and born again?
Separate
ourselves out of there. These people separate themselves. What's it, Dan?
Well, we try to keep them out of the
right.
Church. It depends on the balance.
That if you can't kick them out, we're to separate ourselves from them and to separate unto the truth of the Word of God. But these are separate themselves. In other words, what does it mean, separate, that word separate?
Set apart.
Set apart, all right. Now there's a good separation and a bad separation. Is this a good or a bad one?
It's a good one.
This is a good one? These unbelievers separate themselves, it's a good one? These, all right, let's go back. Who do these refer to?
These are the ungodly.
Ungodly. So, in this case, would this separate the good or bad? Now, if ungodly people separate themselves, what does that mean?
Separate themselves from the godly.
Separate from the godly? What else?
Unrepentant.
Yeah?
Would they be separating themselves unto sin.
All right, understand. Jim?
Well, nothing to do with God.
All right, all right.
Unrepentant.
Now, if they separate themselves, all of them together, completely false teachers, separated from all the rest of the people that are doing the right thing, they're doing the wrong thing, they're together. misery loves company. It's a Ken.
This is from Jim Canada. Totally built up by this morning's message from Second Peter by Pastor Dan May. Also Friday's class of Fundamentalism was by Pastor Daniel May, very good. And last but not least, Great Piano by Kathy. Thanks all, God bless.
Great Piano, that's right from James Cotto. What is the state again?
Louisiana.
Massachusetts. He's out of Massachusetts. Say, wait for a moment. Everybody can wait for me. Thank you. Thank you. All right. James Powell. Thank you, James. Appreciate your comments. Other questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Give us a comment. Glad to hear from you. Just say hello if you wish. So, they separate themselves. And then what is another thing, verse 19? What does this adjective mean? Sensual. What's that mean?
The flesh,
okay, just fleshly, that's all. Mm-hmm. All they care about is their own. Now, an animal, yes, James from Texas, take it. Amen. Thank you, Jacob. Jacob Rover from Texas. Wave to Jacob. Thank you, Jacob. From Texas. That's right. All right. That's a good verse, Jacob. Thank you. So, animals, all they have is the feelings and the flesh. I mean, they can't talk like we can talk, and they can't communicate with the Lord, certainly. That's all they have is the senses. And alligators is all they have. And these wild beasts, you know, it's all they do is wolves that go after. But people, should they be like animals? Just flesh and stuff? No, this is. Do Christians. Yes, Jill.
Yeah, a lot of the people who. Well, there's some more Christians too. They say, okay, for example, dogs. I'm just picking pet. Mm-hmm. Oh, unlike humans, dogs give unconditional love. Well, these people are not looking at Jesus instead of looking at their dog.
Now, what is the name of the dog that bites people and kills people?
Rottweiler?
Is that the name?
Pitbull
is one of them. There are some pit bulls that can be tamed and calmed and be tamed, but a lot of pit bulls are very angry and they go after and try to kill and bite and stuff. So some dogs are more friendly than others. I guess I'm just trying to illustrate that. Just like some people are more friendly than others.
Good time. The dog is to go and retreat.
Is that right, Dr. Kim?
And he loves children too.
Dogs, children?
Yeah, there's certain dogs that are with families. Yeah. The most intelligent is the German Shepherd.
German Shepherd's a German. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, she's nothing but German Shepherds.
I was going to say, that. A lot of people look to the dogs, but that was the usual dog. And then they stop looking to the humans. They're higher than they are anyway. They don't have a soul. The dogs don't have a soul. I mean, I have a dog and I love my dog. I don't love my dog any less just because I'm a Christian, but, period. But the thing is that they have their own order of things. You know, and then you're not just, somebody's an evolutionist, but they just, even if you're not an evolutionist, I really love my dog. I mean, these humans are driving me crazy. Oh man, I love my dog, and he'll understand me no matter what.
But don't you think that people don't know the Lord Jesus to begin with.
A lot of people.
Go to the doctor.
Yes, that's true.
I'm just thinking about, because I'm getting a little bit off the subject, but the dogs, I mean, they have dogs that can sniff out cancer.
Yeah.
There's dogs that, like, help people that are handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's dogs that's been proven that they lower your blood pressure. So dogs are a blessing from the Lord.
Yes. They sniff out bombs.
We have to have the right mentality.
It can
turn into an idol.
I don't know too much about these high-polluted dogs. I just had one dog. Name was Jippy. And the reason they called Jip is because my dad paid 50 cents for him. Because even that's a Jip. So I built a little dog house for him. And I don't know, it was over there in Brio. I was just a young fellow, but I liked the dog Jippy. But when I left, he got real mean. And when I was there, he was fine. He was very nice. I don't know what, he wasn't high-polluted, big name dog. He was just a mutt. But when I left, he started biting all the people around the area. They had to throw him out.
Years ago, there was a young man who came to our church. This is back when I was like 8 or 6.
Yeah.
he was younger than I am now, but he was always saying that, people were always saying that a dog is man's best friend. But then he noticed that dogs fell backwards with God, and so he was saying that people mixed it up, that God is man's best friend.
Yeah. That's good. That sounds very good.
That is good.
So these unbelievers are sensual, just the senses, just that which pleases them. The world is filled with the things that please the sense, am I right? Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's dope, narcotics of any kind. These are things that are sensual. Whether it's how recently we heard about a man who killed himself, I guess accidentally, a man or woman, I forget who it was. They had this game where you choke yourself and then you sort of feel sexy. You get more sexy if you choke yourself and talk, but they choke too far and the person dies. See, crazy stuff. Just getting feelings. That's all I care about is feelings. Anyway, you've heard of that, I'm sure. That's what you choke yourself about. It's terrible. Sensual. And to having not the Spirit, what does that mean?
They don't have the Holy Spirit.
Who has the Holy Spirit?
Jesus Christ.
Genuine believers, genuinely saved. How did the Scriptures teach that, or is that just our idea?
It's taught in Scripture.
Scriptures teach that. We mentioned one of the verses this morning in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Let's say it. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? If ye have of God, you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify your body, your body and your spirit, which are God's. Glorify God. So our bodies are saved people, the temple, our bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit. So but these people have not the Spirit. Do they have a human spirit?
Yes.
Yes, every person, saved or lost, has three parts. What are
body, soul,
spirit. What is the part of the Scripture?
Spirit,
soul, and body. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Every person has a spirit, a soul, whether saved or lost. But the saved one again, Christian, has an additional part, that is God the Holy Spirit indwelling the body. And we must honor the Holy Spirit of God. Our bodies are His temple. What is a temple?
It's a place where you worship.
It should be a holy place. And so our bodies should be holy, which is not of the Lord and not of the gifts.
That's where the Shekinah glory of God
is. Yes, dwelling presence of God, Shekinah glory in the temple. So not having a sin. All right, let's read verse. Did you read 20? Let's see. We read. Oh, we did read that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll ask that. So first one. But ye beloved. Again, who's he speaking to here?
Saints
and believers. Now it says, building up yourselves in your most holy church. What does it mean to build up?
Edify, erect.
Should Christians build up themselves in the things of the Lord?
Yes.
How is that accomplished?
Study
the Word, certainly prayer, and fellowship with fellow believers.
Yes.
They're to build yourselves up. That's a command, isn't it? Building up yourselves. That I am the most holy faith. Now, Anna, maybe you can check on the Greek there, see if it's with an article or not. I think it is, but I want to be sure. The most holy faith. That's Jude 1:20. What is building up yourselves and the most holy faith. What is this most holy faith? That certainly is part of it. Jesus Christ and crucified. Now, if there's an article before the faith, what does that indicate in Greek?
The body of doctrine.
The whole theological thing, the works of God, all the scripture doctrine. If it's without the article, what does it mean? Without the article, what does it mean? Personal faith, personal faith and trust that we have. So Anna's busily looking that up in the book of Jude, chapter 1 and verse 20. When she comes up there, we'll have the answer. Now, the last part of that, praying in the Holy Ghost, what does that mean?
Have the Holy Spirit guide your prayer.
Have the Holy Spirit guide your prayer. Right? In other words, make sure, how can a person know that he's praying in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit? Anna, got it? No articles? Okay. Pastor Dan, maybe you can take a look and see if you see an article there. Maybe there's no article. And 120, in the most holy faith, probably way in, it's before the word most. Put yourself up and in probably that point. You see anything that?
Yeah.
Okay. Praying in the Holy Spirit, in other words, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got to pray.
The will of God.
The will of God, that's right.
Pray outside.
Pray outside the will of God. We're going along with the scriptures and the Holy Spirit of God which teaches us. And this is a pattern for prayer. Yes.
And for that. Being in agreement with what scripture teaches.
Yes.
And in the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Yes.
Third mention of the verse in Romans chapter 8 where it says that the Holy Spirit under things we aren't able to.
Yes. We don't know that. Yes. Great. Help with us with our infirmities.
Help with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself made an intercession for us, and groanings depend on the other. That's verse 22, chapter 8.
Chapter 8, 36. Okay, thank you. That's 26. Okay, but see, man, nothing.
Absent.
Okay. So, the most holy faith.
Your most holy faith, personal faith,
the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, it's a holy faith because the object is the Lord Himself, Lord Jesus Christ, and He is holy. That's where our faith should be. So praying in the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Ghost is part. Then we went 21 minutes.
Yes.
Okay. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What does that word keep mean in that sense?
Secure.
Alright, and persevere, probably either one of those things. In the love of God, how does that accomplish?
Put on the whole armor of God.
Keep yourself in the love of God.
Be in obedience to His word.
Obedience to His word.
Letting the word of God dwell in us richly.
Yes, let us the word of God dwell in us richly. Yes?
Thank you. Praying and reading and
all right.
Start to slip,
and we're
continuing.
Keep yourself in the love of God. Yes.
Maybe having a made-up mind, because the mind is powerful.
Yeah.
So if we, make up our mind, okay, God, I want to keep myself. Help me to keep myself in you.
Now, we mentioned that reading the scriptures and being very clear on that is helping us to keep ourselves in the love of God, all the scriptures and words. What if we don't touch the Bible one day? What about 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, months, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months? Is that you're going to keep yourself in the love of God?
No.
Take away. Why is it, in order to be strong in the Lord, the power of His might, we must and should read God's word? Why is it?
So that's
communication.
God speaks to you.
God speaks to him.
He says, moments,
peace
in the word of God.
Mind?
The Lord's mind.
The Lord's mind is in the word of God. That's right. That's right.
It says we have the mind of Christ, but we don't know the mind of Christ. Unless we read it. So
yes.
We have to read it.
That's right. So, So keep yourself in the love of God.
It's also an active part.
it doesn't just happen.
Right.
I try to mark my Bible when I see an action word, but it's something we have to do.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's like by us, but we have to.
Yes.
And be out.
Right.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah, Lord God, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12.
The sword doesn't do any good if it's in the sheath.
Okay. Now, is this a command or a suggestion?
Command.
Now, remember the Old Testament, Mount Sinai, how many commands did God give to Moses?
Ten.
Are there other commands in the New Testament?
Yes.
Not the Ten Commandments, but other commands in order. Just one, isn't it? Over how many are there orders in the New Testament? I got them on file.
Are there 8
to 10? No, at least over 100.
Wasn't there like 600 and some commands in the Bible?
But she said 1,600.
No, 600 and something. 600. What commands?
I think we have it over 1,500. I don't think it's what you said, Ken. But I've got it in my file. I said, look it up. And I said, bring it out, put it on the rack.
What are you looking
at? All the commands in the New Testament, orders, commands, for Christians to do today.
One time I asked an Orthodox Hasidic Jewish man, I said, what are those ropes on the side of your walking? He goes, those are all the commandments. So I said, so he goes, each knot is like another command, so that reminds them as they're walking, it's sashaying past them.
Yeah.
All those little ropes that remind you of them to keep God's command, although they're...
They only had 10, we got over 1,000.
And they also post them on boards. When they come in and go out, they're reminded of the commandments.
Yeah.
Each one knots, Rich, they have actually 700 some knots.
No, not 700, just 10. Just 10 knots?
No, they have a bunch of knots.
Oh, more than 10.
Like, yeah, there's a bunch of knots in each rope.
Oh, well, it's not just
I don't know how many, but it's a bunch.
Anna?
There aren't just the 10 commandments in the Old Testament.
Oh, that's true.
Civil law.
The one we consider to be the one that God gave us.
For someone who's a Jew,
many more than 10. That's right. That's right. Yeah,
first, if you offend at one point, if you've broken all of them.
No, they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Look at
10. It goes beyond just the 10. You know, the flying fire and the and all
that's
these.
Right. There's lots of other
different things.
And yeah, and the sound.
On that same token, too, I asked another one, I said, why do you bob your head when you're praying? And he goes, because that stops your mind from wandering, but the fact that they're doing this.
I see.
I never knew.
They do that
at the wall.
At the wailing wall, yes, they do
the
wailing
wall.
Although they reject the Messiah.
Yes, that's right.
But then Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, wasn't it, that if we thank the lost.
Yes, that's right. The woman in her heart, that's right. Mm-hmm. And if you hate, you're killing it. That's right.
So
that's right. So the Old Testament Jews and different things. The man that wrote that book on the four blood moons, what's his name?
John
Hagee. What does he think about the Jews? What does he think about the Jews?
Well, I know that he has a love for Israel.
He thinks they have
working. That's going
to
happen.
But your grant loves Israel?
He believes the Jews have a special covenant with God. They don't need to accept Christ in order to go to heaven.
That's right. So he believes all the Jews are saved and born again and go to heaven. Is that true or false?
That's wrong.
That's false. That's false religion. Dead wrong. And this is a serious thing as far as, we love the Jews, but we don't say they're going to heaven unless they trust Christ. Let's say John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way,
the truth, and the life.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's the only man to get there. I'm sorry about John Hagee. Jill.
I know people who claim to be fundamentalist Christians, and they follow and watch John Hagee. They really like him.
Yes, I know. He's very persuasive. In fact, someone gave us the book to read the Four Blood Moons, and we've been reading John Hagee just to see what he says in that book. A lot of things he says that are right, a lot of things that aren't right, but he's got a following. He's got a huge church. He committed adultery with his secretary, and they kicked him out of one church, went across the city, and built another church. He's got thousands of them. So he must be everywhere. Yes, Jill and then Anna.
have two things to say about that. First of all, he's also married. That's the second
one. Yeah, the same secretary. Yeah, the one he had.
That's the one that's the secretary.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait a minute. You just said he committed adultery with his secretary.
Yeah.
So Jill said something else. I think we should all know what the truth is. Right. Was he married?
Oh, yes, he was married before.
And committed adultery?
Oh, yes.
They're not saying he replaced him.
Oh, yes.
He should be a pastor then.
No, that's right, shouldn't be the best, that's right.
He did something wrong, but as long as he
See, he was married, had sex with a secretary, that's adultery.
Did he repent?
Well, he repented, but they kicked out of the church, and then he married that secretary and threw away, divorced his wife. So he's a divorced pastor. Now, Jill, go ahead, take it out.
I know people who are Jews for Jesus. Say you're funny that because they're Jews for Jesus, because they're Jewish in their bloodline or something, they like Hagee because he's really forty, and they go, he's a Zionist, and they go into that part thinking, and they're in love with him.
Oh no,
they
I know.
Like, they like John Hagee because he spends a lot of money on them.
All the money on the Jews.
He brings a lot of people to Israel, and they have a big celebration there. And he has this thing in Washington every year. The Jews like him because he's constantly trying to get the government to support all positions of the Jews.
Anna, then Tammy.
I just reminded him of that one. I
These are supernatural revelation, book of Joel, book of Revelation, but these are natural phenomena. They've had ever since the world has been created. We've had these moons. Anyway, that is a resurgence. Yes, John.
Did they kick him out?
I don't know what it was. I think it's in the same city. I think it just moved over and built up. He's got thousands, I don't know, 10,000, 20,000 huge undertakings. And very popular speaker, no question about it. All right, so we're in central, having out the Spirit, building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and keep yourselves in verse 21 in the love of God. What's that? You got to say something? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, he is a very dynamic speaker.
Oh, yes.
And so that's probably part of why people are drawn to him.
Well, absolutely. He's a good speaker. He's a good writer. He writes very clear writing. We've been reading him. No question. But just because people can speak well and write well doesn't necessarily mean they're biblical in what they're writing. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Well, I'm attracted to Dr. Nate, and he's really attractive to Sarah Kennedy because he sounded so good and he looked so nice.
Senator Kennedy? President Kennedy?
No, 2008. I'm not sure
if that's
best for the country.
Who are you talking about,
Senator? President Obama.
Oh, Obama. Okay, good to hear what you're saying. All right. Didn't turn out for the best. He said he's going to have hope and change. He certainly has changed, all right? And Jill, go ahead.
That's what people are saying. You know, I want to say, Charles Stanley. Okay, like Hagee, he was remarried also. He might be able to speak to him to come away.
He remarried his wife. Yes.
Anybody have anything to say on that?
So I'm looking at divorced. He had two children by the first wife. He married his member of his former church and his three children by her.
The church is now called Cornerstone.
Now called Cornerstone. I don't know what the first one was.
The first one was Trinity Church.
Texas.
East Haven,
Joplin,
Texas.
That's what I think. Okay, Anna?
What source is this?
It's right on the
internet. On the
internet. It's a, Would you believe divorce Debbie?
Divorce Debbie?
That's what it's called, the source.
Oh, so it's
called.
Now, Charles Stanley. Somebody, Billy said something?
Yeah, I got him mixed up with somebody else for a minute.
Oh.
It was Benny Hinn who remarried his wife.
Oh, okay.
Charles Stanley yeah. still divorced, but his wife divorced. And he was
His wife divorced him?
And he's never remarried.
Charles Stanley, okay, yeah.
I believe his wife was mentally ill.
His wife was mentally ill?
I think so, something like that. But she divorced him. He did not want to be married.
Okay.
All right,
Dan, then Joe.
The two, between Penny Hinn and Charles Stanley, clearly Charles Stanley has we don't like divorce, no matter what
right, right.
is. You know, but his theology, he's a lot more on target.
Yeah.
Although he's got some, he still has some problems.
Separation
problems, but clearly Benny Hinn is
far off.
Even some people within his camp or actually don't really like Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
As far as he believes the sign gifts are still intact, but then he goes beyond that extreme and all this type of healing.
Right.
And some of it seems like some of fraudulent almost that Benny Hinn is doing. It's very sad that I didn't know that so keep in touch with Benny Hinn. I didn't know he was divorced or remarried, even if it was his first wife. I'm glad he remarried his first wife. That's what people should reconcile with their wives.
Right, you said, Bill?
Yeah, if they get a divorce, they should be divorcing their wife.
Right.
Or they should be divorcing their husband.
Right.
And I didn't know the dynamic background of Charles Stanley. Mm-hmm. Nice if he and his wife can get back together again. I think the point between Stanley up and Peggy up,
there
are dynamic people, his personality.
Oh, yeah.
They have people that have interesting. They draw interest to people.
Oh, yes.
For people to listen to them, to watch them, to come and participate in the church services right. because of their personality. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's because of the content.
Yeah. Now, Carol, you were saying something?
No, I just said Charles Stanley never got
remarried. Never got remarried, Charles Stanley. Yes, to answer that?
My only association with John Hagee is on, watching it on television. I don't get those stations anymore, but the only thing I ever heard him out of his mouth was this word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've ever known.
Yeah.
I did read a book that one of his wives, I don't know which one, mm-hmm. wrote for women, particularly.
Diana Hagee, that's his current wife.
Okay.
Well,
Diana Hagee, his current wife.
She wrote that book?
I don't even remember the title of it now, but it encouraged me. So hearing all of this stuff is very upsetting because I'm not aware of all these issues.
Yeah.
I know Charles Stanley. I was on his prayer team. I mean, shouldn't we be looking at the Word and the Scripture? I mean, this is just, I feel like we're just kind of hurting the body of Christ by talking about these
ministers. Sometimes these ministers hide behind the Bible. You don't know the true theology.
Mm-hmm.
Kenneth Copeland is a good example of that.
Yeah. But we don't know what anybody in this room does.
No.
We don't have any idea what kind of life you're living or I'm living or someone else in this room is living. So do we have a right to be talking about people behind their back?
Isn't that
what Scripture calls gossip?
Well, we're talking
really
about Don Hagee that's written this book, The Four Blood Moons. And then we're also...
Yeah, and I was under teaching that talked about that book, that had that book.
Yeah.
And said that everything that he got... from that book was in this word.
Yeah, well,
it wasn't, doing what you guys are saying.
Well, that's false. And furthermore, if you look into the background of John Hagee, you'll see that he thinks all the Jews don't need Christ, they're saved.
Yeah.
That's heresy. You've got to come to the fact that
saying, but I never heard that.
Fine, you don't have to hear it. I didn't hear it.
Anything I read or heard never
said
such.
I hadn't heard it either, but I read it out of his mouth. Study up on him and read it. And if you find out that he thinks all the Jews are saved, is he a heretic on that or not? All right. Stand with us. All the things we agree with is fine, but heresy is Anna and Pastor Dan.
He has rabbis on his show all the time.
Excuse me, Anna, go ahead. Anna, I don't hear you.
Well, yes. So I think the concern with Hagee is that his interpretation of eschatology is that instead of saying that, you know, God is going to do something, you know, he's just taking these naturalistic approaches because he's saying that, okay, well, astrologists are seeing these four blood moons coming. And these
are words. It's in the word, four blood moons is in the word of God.
Talk about the blood moons, but it's so okay. So these blood moons, do you think that the rapture is going to have, definitely going to happen within the next couple of years? Because essentially, that's what Hagee is saying, based on
no, he's not. He says no man shall know.
All right.
He says what the Bible says about
that. All right, so we'll go back over.
I want to say something real quick. I want to But Dr. Dean Jeremiah was just flipping around channels, and I just wanted to see him. And I know, hosting the pastor on TV is dead wrong about a lot of things. Dean Jeremiah, one time, I just couldn't believe, one time he was actually preaching the Bible and saying it was in line with astrology. He's selling or giving his teaching on astrological things and how they're okay and how they're basically God.
Uh-huh.
I just want to quickly touch upon that.
Astrology. Dr. David Meyer,
lead pastor
at Hadnex. Yes, you are a social pastor at Hadnex. All right, verse 21. Keep yourselves the love of God. What else are we looking for? What? Verse 21. Looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So, what does mercy mean? Oh, go ahead.
Pastor Dan was going to say something before.
Oh, go ahead.
The idea of mercy, as long as you ask the question, it's not receiving something that's deserved.
Not receiving something that's deserved.
God's merciful, because we deserve punishment.
Deserve punishment, and God is merciful.
His grace has given us something, we can give His grace. It's not receiving something that we do deserve, whereas grace is receiving something that we do not deserve. We were mentioning earlier, after the previous discussion, we're not so trying to pick on any particular individual. Whether it be Charles Stanley, Benny Hinn, John Hagee, somebody else was mentioned too. I don't know what his name was.
Uh-huh.
But the idea of looking at the scripture and the prerequisite for the rapture and saying that when the prophets in the Old Testament and John, the apostle, speaks about the moon being turned to blood,
mm-hmm.
or the moon becoming blood, or becoming mm-hmm. as blood or like blood,
uh-huh.
Whatever that might be, is that should not be explained by something that happens naturalistically,
mm-hmm.
by first of all having had a full moon, and then having an eclipse during full moon. Which does the full moons are geared to feast days.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we would have a blood moon during a feast day.